You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Just when you thought it wasn't going to be a real interesting day. Oh boy. The last 2 hours plus have been something to behold. It is a gym class here at KGYM. Great to have you with us here on this Thursday, the final day of the month of June of 2022, and I think a day that may go down in history as far as collegiate sports is concerned. Great to have you aboard on the gym class program. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes will join me coming up in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DuPaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being. As got a really packed show for you. We'll talk about the news of the day, all of it, and get your reactions to it at the text line at 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to weigh in that fashion, 319-366-1600 here today. Also, RJ Anderson's going to join us from CBS Sports and talk Major League Baseball. Had that planned out all week, of course, before all this happens, but we will talk some baseball with RJ coming up in just a little bit. Mark joining me on a Thursday, and wow. Mark, you and I are both, we've seen a few things. We've been around for a while. You ever think you'd see a day like today? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And yeah, a day when show prep kind of goes out the window, or at least gets shuffled around. And, you know, over the decades, there's been plenty of things. You know, Penn State coming into the Big Ten was a big deal. But we're going to talk about more of that. And I felt fallen ill, Scott.
You've fallen ill? Why is that? Yeah.
The Twins are into the bullpen.
Oh.
And have just given up a 3-1 lead.
I'm sorry.
Give me a minute.
All right. We'll let you put mute on before you yell or throw anything. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program. If you'd like to weigh in here today, that is our phone line as well as the text line. And if you have missed it, well, first of all, things started off with the news that Iowa Southeast Polk High School 5-star offensive tackle Caden Proctor, who had his college choices down to 2, Iowa and Alabama, was going to make his announcement today. And that was going to be big news. That was going to be at 1:00 today. And lo and behold, just ahead of that, we had all the news break from out in California. And that coming from, I believe, the San Jose paper and their Pac-12 writer out there about USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 and moving on to the Big Ten. So in essence, UCLA and USC said, "Caden, hold my beer." I got for a moment. We got something for you, buddy. Caden Proctor is going to play his college football at the University of Iowa. He announced that earlier today. Big get, 5-star. A lot of people looking at him as a number one offensive lineman, certainly the number one offensive tackle on the board in the class of 2023, and he will be playing for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So good news right there as far as Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football team is concerned. But wasn't many minutes prior or after that, Mark, and then the news broke that UCLA and USC, two members, long, long time members of the Pacific Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, however you want to brand it, being courted and, well, asking and looking to move out of the Pac-12 and in talks with the Big Ten Conference, with Kevin Warren, with presidents, athletic directors, etc. And as early as tonight, we could see an official announcement by USC and UCLA of their intention to leave the Pac-12 and join the Big Ten. Crazy, crazy stuff right here.
Yeah, the Proctor news was not so surprising. although Iowa fans kind of sitting on the edge of their seats when Alabama is involved. And it's a recruit that Iowa had to get. And apparently those close to him, including former teammate Xavier Wampa, had known of Proctor's decision for quite some time, kept it secret, whatnot, let Caden Proctor make that decision himself. You just hope, and I don't think this will be the case, that it isn't another Blake Larson or Dan Doering situation, five-star recruits of the past that never panned out. You hope it's not a Ross Pierce-Baker situation, who about 10 years ago committed to Iowa and flipped to Alabama. I don't know Caden Proctor, and I don't know that that'll be the case, but reading what he had to say today, he's very committed to Iowa and has thought along these lines for some time. I don't know if you want to continue your thoughts on that, but we can get into USC and UCLA as well, which makes perfectly geographic sense, right?
Well, somewhere I think Bo and Woody are turning over in their grave, Mark, to be perfectly blunt with you. And I don't think that we can honestly say that this completely surprises us, thinking about it, after Oklahoma and Texas and what they did as far as going to the SEC. This a little bit more out there because USC and UCLA are in Los Angeles. They're in California. They're West Coast. They're Pacific time. The Big Ten now, if this comes true, is going to stretch from coast to coast, from the Eastern time zone all the way to the Pacific time zone. Is there any other reason for this than basically power and greed, Mark? No, absolutely not. There is no other reason. But it is what it is. It is the new landscape as far as college athletics are concerned. A lot of people thought it was going to be, everything was going to be condensed down to super conferences, mega conferences. I think we are on our way to that. I think we are on our way now to the NCAA not being the lead entity as far as these super conferences are concerned. And you're going to have the SEC and the Big Ten. They are going to be just fine. Other than that, I don't know what is going to happen. Right now, the Pac-12 looks like the WAC from the 60s and the 70s, Mark. And it was a good conference back then. Give it a Google, kids. It was a very good conference, and it was a fun conference as far as football was concerned. But you have the same teams now in the Pac-12 that you had in the WAC back then with the Arizonas and the Utahs and whatnot. It's crazy. What does the Pac-12 do? What does the Big 12 do now? Do they get together with the Pac-12? The alliance, if you will, between the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big 10, that's gone, isn't it? I mean, if I'm the Pac-12, I have nothing to do with the Big 10 right now, and Kevin Warren. It's just, there's more to come on this, I believe. I think we may be only at the tip of the iceberg as far as this is concerned, Mark.
No question about it. There's so much more movement going to happen, I think, not only in the Big Ten, but in the Big 12, SEC. You're going to end up with a couple super conferences, is the thought by many people. And a few nuts and bolts to this. This is the last day that the Pac-12 could make a decision to leave the league and avoid a more significant buyout than it will already face. And the idea is to have USC and UCLA join in 2024. Keep in mind, this is not official, okay? But it certainly looks like it's going to happen. It definitely expands the Big Ten footprint. They already have New York City television sets, and then you'd have L.A. and Chicago and on and on and on. You know, and Rutgers and Maryland joining the league raised eyebrows, but maybe only in Iowa and Nebraska and Minnesota. It probably made sense at Penn State and Ohio State, Michigan, where the travel isn't so significant. But, friends, in the Big Ten, plan your car washes and bake sales to supplement your budgets.
Maryland and Rutgers, Penn State, anyone in the Eastern time zone, Ohio State, et cetera, et cetera. Enjoy those 10:30 starts or 11 o'clock starts, depending if television picks it up. A lot of people weighing in on the text line, 319-366-1600, 9663. Why would Oregon stay now? Hey, who knows? Oregon may be the next team in the Big Ten. They could be heading to the SEC. Who knows? In all seriousness, Mark, the next schools are going to be courted, I guarantee you. Guarantee you. And now that the Big Ten has USC and UCLA supposedly in their midst, in their grasp, everyone's going to be making a play to South Bend, Indiana, ladies and gentlemen, and Clemson, South Carolina. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Notre Dame's going to have to do something at some point. If you get down to a couple super conferences, you know, I know it has the NBC deal and it wants that for its very own. That's been going on for a long time.
And that is coming up too.
Yeah, I just got to believe that at some point Notre Dame's going to be part of one of these super conferences.
Well, they're in the ACC in every sport but football right now. It's going to be interesting to see if they stay in the ACC. 34-22, tongue-in-cheek. The Big Ten might as well get Hawaii and control the hemisphere. Never say never. Of course, adding West Coast teams to the Big Ten makes no sense, but if the end game ultimately is four 16-team super conferences, I guess I would rather grab my musical chairs right now. Best of luck to Iowa State in the Big 12. That's another question about all this. Again, we're back to the Big 12, and yeah, they made their expansion last year, bringing the four schools in when Oklahoma and Texas left. Are we going to see a grab by the Big 12 to try to get maybe some of the Pac-12 teams? Does the Pac-12 go away? Does the Pac-12 get together with the Big 12? I really don't know. 70-10 has thrown up their hands. I really don't care. College sports are totally ruined. Hey, it's all about – there's a reason USC and UCLA have picked this particular time to leave the Pac-12 and run to the Big Ten, because the Big Ten's media rights television contract is up, and everyone's going to get paid at this point, Mark, and it's going to be even bigger bucks when you talk about the L.A. market now being with all of the Big Ten teams and the Big Ten market area.
Yeah, and the Big 12's media rights deal is up next year, 2023. So I think USC and UCLA look forward, and of course it has a new commissioner who marked 1 year on the job this week, and now you have this news dropping. And you talk about travel, not only for football and basketball, but other sports. Rutgers to L.A., is 2,770 miles by car. And a five-hour flight. We're talking about four time zones in the Big Ten Conference as of right now.
That we are. 319-366-1600, 3349 with a very good point. Are we sure that a small market school like Iowa will not get pushed out? Not enough TV sets. Hey, never say never. Never say never. USC and UCLA have been charter members of the PAC conference, 8, 10, 12, however you want to put it. It's almost, I mean, I am not, I'm not a wrestling fan, certainly a pro wrestling fan or anything, but watched enough of it back in the college days with my roommates. Thank you, JJ. This is basically, this is a heel turn, and Kevin Warren smacking the Pac-12 in the back of a head with a steel chair.
Well, this is Viking with a thumb to the throat, right?
Oh, yeah, isn't it? I mean, this is exactly what that is. Our friend 8699, Big 12 probably grabs Oregon in Arizona or Arizona State, who are now probably looking to move. Yeah, I mean, that's their next move, and I as a couple texters down said, I think we are looking for these super conferences. Right now, if you include Notre Dame, there are 65 schools, I believe. And that is before the expansion comes in as far as the Big 12. So that's going to push it up to almost 70. So it's not going to be four 16-team leagues or anything like that. And that's if everybody is going to stay put right now. So it's not going to be, you know, an equal amount of teams as far as every conference is concerned. And, you know, this is deals with football. We haven't even got, you know, to basketball as of yet, Mark, because you've got, you know, other conferences in there like the Big East, good league, the AAC, also a very, very good league out there. And where do they land? Big East doesn't have football. So there are still a lot of questions out there. Does the NCAA stick around as an entity, as, you know, a leadership, for lack of a better term, a leadership group? Do they take over, you know, the group of fives, if you will, and the rest of NCAA play? I don't know. So many questions that are out there right now coming out of this with USC and UCLA today.
Yeah, the old guard in the Big Ten is going to love it when you have that Oregon-USC Rose Bowl, right?
Maybe. If Oregon's still in the Pac-12.
you put it exactly right. It's the tip of the iceberg. And you can like this, you can dislike it all you want, but this is the way of the world. The Big Ten wasn't going to stay, the Big Ten. You know, we went through iterations with Penn State and Rutgers and Maryland, and now we have possibly USC and UCLA. It's not going to stop there.
Leo and I was sitting, give me USC and Kinnick at night in November. Well, could happen. Could happen. The Big Ten equals the NWO. I believe that's a wrestling reference. Joel and Muscatine, there are 30 flights daily from New York City to L.A. It will be easier to get there for Rutgers than Iowa to get to Happy Valley. There is no good way for Iowa to get to Happy Valley. We have known that over the years. So I would agree. I would agree. But, I mean, what's this mean for the Big Ten, Mark? I mean, it's good for football, there's no doubt. UCLA has not been great as of late, but they've got a very good pedigree. We know about USC and what they have done as far as football is concerned. Basketball, yeah, it's going to help the Big Ten. No doubt about that. Probably the sport it may help the most, maybe baseball, to be honest with you. But again, that's long trips as far as baseball budgets are concerned. And we're not even talking the Olympic sports as of yet. Does not help one iota as far as wrestling is concerned.
Yeah, I think you're spot on all of those points. And, women's basketball. The Big Ten doesn't need a lot of help in men's basketball, right?
True.
But what UCLA has done recently and in the past, and USC's had its moments, yeah, it'll make it a better league. But men's basketball has been one of the, if not the premier basketball leagues in the country. So, it makes it more interesting, I think. But, yeah, wrestling, it does nothing. Baseball certainly elevates the profile for the Big Ten. But, you know, USC is going to love coming in for an April game at Duane Banks Field.
Although, I will say this, USC and UCLA are probably used to cold weather games early in the year because it's not real balmy in Seattle and Pullman in March, would be my guess. Without looking at the climatological information on that. Yes, 319-366-1600. And Joel does point out it could help swimming as well as far as getting USC and UCLA in there. I would agree. I would agree. And Ed, as I mentioned, I put leadership role in quotation marks, and Ed also says, when was the last time that the NCAA was a leadership entity?
Fair point.
you go. There you go. 319-366-1600. You came up with a very interesting idea earlier today when we talked, Mark, and that is the fact that if expansion continues, I mean, if the Big Ten, they get USC, UCLA, you go to 16 teams. Let's say it just keeps going from there. You go to 18, you go to 20. How about scheduling, especially as far as basketball is concerned? You're getting to a point now, you may play every team once only in the league, and just what? At the most, two or three teams a second time, and you talk about people complaining now about schedule inequity. I mean, what's going to happen when that takes place?
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, it could be a nightmare. I don't know. But we don't know where this is going to land. We can only, guess at it. And it is a guess where this whole thing's going to finish up. But, and again, we don't know if this USC-UCLA thing is going to get finalized. I think it will, but it's not official at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to bring this up, 7491. So much for Kirk Ferentz refusing to play on the West Coast. Well, again, who knows how much longer Kirk will be the head coach of the Hawkeyes. That remains to be seen, I guess.
I don't think teams will go to the West Coast twice. Do you? In a season?
I cannot imagine.
I'd be surprised.
I cannot imagine that would be the case. But hey, I guess once the dust settles, we will know, and they'll come up with all kinds of rules. Tell you what. You know, there's talk about, and we talked about this yesterday, if you missed it, podcast available at kgymradio.com at the gym class, and getting rid of divisions. Actually, it wasn't yesterday, but a couple days ago, as far as getting into football schedules and whatnot, if the Big Ten gets away from the divisional format, it would take away. The West would look a lot better with USC and UCLA if you kept the divisions now, right?
Yeah, I think so. Once again, we don't know if it's going to be a 16, 18, 20-team league. And by the way, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren has not weighed in today because he is apparently on official business in London. Is the University of London going to join the Big Ten? I don't know what official business in London might be.
Maybe it's just a vacation. Remains to be seen. Wow, just a lot to unpack today. But hey, Rose Bowl probably not as significant. I mean, who knows if we have even a Big Ten Pac-12 alliance for the Rose Bowl when it is available anymore. Big Ten teams will be playing in the Rose Bowl now,
or if the Pac-12 will exist
even. A lot of history perhaps going by the wayside, and that is a sad part of it. But like you said, Mark, you have to accept change, and this is change. And I think the rules as far as conference expansion were thrown away several years ago. And like I said, I'm not sure we are done as far as this is concerned. This may open up a whole new can of worms. Oregon, Clemson, Florida State, certainly Notre Dame. I'm the ACC. I'm on the horn already with Notre Dame, making sure that they are a good partner with the ACC. Because if they lose Notre Dame, I don't think it's going to be very much longer that Clemson and Florida State are staying in the ACC. But we'll see. Maybe Miami, too. Who knows?
Hey, stay tuned.
Yeah.
This was really kind of a well-kept secret, wasn't it?
Pretty good.
I don't
one.
Remember reading anything up till now that USC and UCLA were thinking about leaving the Pac-12, especially for the Big Ten. And I may not be well-read. I think that's the case, though.
And reportedly, Big Ten presidents and athletic directors have been meeting about this since the inquiry by USC and UCLA. Not to mention the fact that UCLA is a part of the California State educational system, which includes Cal Berkeley, of course, UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles. And I wonder what Cal thinks of all this. Cal Berkeley.
Well, there were many in the league who believed UCLA would never leave the Pac-12 because of that reason. And, yeah, I'm sure Cal is not real happy.
Can't be happy. Can't be happy. Who's the Pac-12 go after if they're looking to expand? It's got to be Boise. You go after San Diego State or do you go after UNLV? I know Vegas stinks in football, but it's still a big television market. So is San Diego, but we'll see. 319-366-1600. 329. We need to get to Mark. We need to get to RJ Anderson. More on this before 4 o'clock on our program. Todd and Alex chock full of it as well. Spencer did a great job going over it on Spencer on Sports between 2 and 3 as well today as we continue to take a look at the news of the day with USC and UCLA reportedly going to the Big Ten. Caden Proctor also announcing his commitment to the University of Iowa. Mark, going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. What else is going on today?
Oh, not much. Cedar Rapids Colonels on the road this week have placed star Christian Encarnacion Strand on the IL with a concussion. That's, no pun intended, quite a blow for the Colonels. We'll see how soon his return may be. Afternoon baseball. Cleveland and Minnesota 3-3, bottom of the ninth. Soon to drop another one-run game for the Minnesota Twins. They're playing the John Deere Classic first round in Silvis, Illinois. Zach Johnson, 4-under, playing his ninth hole. Off to a very, very good start. He's got about a 3-to-4-footer for par on the very difficult ninth hole. Your leader right now, JT Poston, shot a 9-under par 62 in the morning wave.
Score's not as low as usual for the entire field this year at TPC Deer Run. Poston did shoot that 62, but you know, right now 3-under is T12. And usually in the past, I mean, 3-under would be about, what, 40th, 50th?
Yeah, I kind of misspoke. Zach had dropped a shot at the 8th and back to 3-under and now faces his par putt on 9 to remain there.
All right. We'll get you one more update from JDC coming up before 4 o'clock. We're going to take a break, come back. RJ Anderson will join us, and we'll talk some Major League Baseball on this Thursday with you after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be a toasty day today with clouds increasing as we head through the afternoon and this evening. There may be a stray shower this evening, but the higher chances for rain will come after midnight tonight. Showers and some thunderstorms will continue into early Friday morning. There may be a few showers in the early afternoon. Otherwise, we are going to have temperatures held down to around 80 degrees tomorrow, and drier and cooler air will settle in for the start of the holiday weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team split a doubleheader with Dubuque Waller on Monday night. The number 6 Saints dropped the opener 2-1 to the number 5 Eagles, then poured it on early to get the 7-4 victory in the nightcap. Senior Will Hiserode got 2 runs and an RBI to help the Saints take game 2. The Saints are on the road to take on Western Dubuque in another doubleheader tomorrow night. The summer is moving fast. It's already the final week for regular season softball. Xavier split their twin bill on the road with Western Dubuque on Monday night, winning the first game 4-3 and dropping the second 6-0. In game 1, Braylon Conlin, Aliana Lurkins, Keely Pilcher, and Claire Walter each got a run to secure the win. The Saints welcome Cedar Rapids Kennedy tonight.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
3:34 back with you. Thursday edition of the Gym Class, a busy one here on KGYM. Got to get to this text before we bring in RJ Anderson here. We've been talking the first half hour of the program about basically the news breaking about USC and UCLA moving from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. That move seems to be imminent. You mentioned, Mark, that Kevin Warren is in London, 41-72. He's probably working on a deal for a yearly Big Ten game to be played at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, please, please.
Northwestern and Rutgers, ladies and gentlemen, doing that. You can follow our next guest at cbssports.com or give him a follow on Twitter. We encourage you to do so at r_j_Anderson. He is RJ Anderson and joins us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa. And happy almost July to you, RJ. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Well, a little bit of news today. You're not leaving for the Big Ten, right?
Not yet.
Not yet. Everybody's leaving for the Big Ten. Give everybody time out there anyway. But, well, here we are. Been a few weeks since we've chatted with you, and things have not changed in the Bronx. The New York Yankees, it is still a Yankee world, and we're all living in it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've been the best team in Major League Baseball by a wide margin. And, you know, if you just look at one loss record, that's evident. If you look a little deeper at run differential, they're at 151 entering today. And, you know, for perspective on what that means, there's only one other team over 100 this season, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they're 30 runs back. So, you know, the Yankees, by basically any measure, have been the best team in baseball this season, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play the rest of the way and if they can threaten that 116 record set in the past, and most recently by the 2001 Seattle Mariners.
RJ, only a couple, 3 weeks ago, I think Scott and I were talking about why isn't Boston better than what it is, because it has had three players in the top 10 and batting in the American League and whatnot. All of a sudden, the Red Sox have taken off. Why is that? Better pitching?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of factors. You know, even then, what I just mentioned with run differential, you know, they had the second best run differential in the American League East at that point. And, you know, there's too much talent there for them not to play better. And over the last 30 games, you know, they have the third best record in the majors behind the Yankees, we just talked about, and behind the Atlanta Braves, who have been red hot and just set a franchise record for the most wins in June, I believe. So, yeah, it was just a matter of time, I think, before they started getting it going. And obviously they still have some issues to resolve, but I think they're a good team, certainly a much better team than they showed earlier in the season.
AL East, there's no doubt it's the best division in baseball. I mean, even Baltimore, had a chance to watch them against the White Sox a few games back, and that's a fun team to watch, and they're not a bad ball club.
Yeah, they're much improved from the last few years, which, granted, is not saying a lot because, you know, this is a team that's front office has kind of embraced the idea of tanking. But yeah, you know, they're starting to promote some of their young talent, including Adley Rutschman, who I think entered the spring as the top prospect, at least for me, in all of baseball. And that's no disrespect to Bobby Witt Jr. or Julio Rodriguez or whomever else. And the only unfortunate thing here lately for Baltimore is that one of their ever top prospects, Grayson Rodriguez, suffered a season-ending injury. You know, he's a really, really good arm, and I was looking forward to seeing him and Adley at camp and you know, the rest of the summer, but unfortunately we're going to have to wait until next season. But you're right, you know, they have played better, I think, than anyone would reasonably expect it. And, you know, they don't really have much of a shot in the American League East or the American League playoff picture, but it's nice to see Baltimore as a city and as a fan base have something kind of you know, take solace in at this point after all these years of disappointing play.
RJ, Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a recent interview that he does not hate baseball. And some would argue with that, considering some of his decisions that he's made, including those who love the minor leagues, and you know what's happened there. Do you believe him?
Well, I would say, you know, whether he loves baseball or not, some of his actions, some of his words indicate that he doesn't view baseball the way that maybe you or I do. You know, anytime you have a commissioner who refers to the championship trophy as a piece of metal, you kind of have to wonder, you know, what exactly are their priorities? And I think that his priority is to make as much money for the owners as possible. And you know what? That's his job in a nutshell. You know, he works for the owners. He's not an impartial bystander or third party. He is under the employment of the owners. They're the ones who voted him to this position. They're the ones who are going to pick his heir someday. So, you know, whether or not he likes baseball, I will say it's probably not a good sign as a commissioner if you're constantly having to suggest that you don't hate baseball or hate the sport that you're governing. I don't know if Roger Goodell or Adam Silver or Gary Bettman have to answer that question as often as Manfred does. So I feel like that's a sign, even if, you know, he denies the assertion, even if I think that the assertion is, you know, sort of laughable. I mean, I don't know. I think he views baseball as a job and as a moneymaker, and that's fine. That's his job. But, you know, I guess as baseball fans, we kind of want someone who views the sport a little bit more romantically.
True. And with that in mind, also talk about some of the changes that are going to be implemented that Rob Manfred is in favor of. You're talking about, you know, robo umpires. You're talking about eliminating the shift, things like that. Good or for bad, that's how Rob Manfred is going to be remembered, as well as a few other things involving the minor leagues, you got to think.
Yeah. And, you know, I think some of these changes have merit, or at least are worth investigating. You know, for instance, they're going to introduce larger bases next season. And I reported on the Atlantic League last year, and that was one of the changes that they were all very fond of because they felt like it did reduce injuries or the risk of injury. So that's a positive in my book. You know, anytime you can improve player safety, I think that's good. You know, some of the other stuff, you know, I know people have strong feelings on the pitch clock, and I get it both ways. And I know people have strong feelings on the automatic ball strike system. Frankly, I don't think the technology is there yet for that to be implemented. So while I understand people wanting at least a more consistent strike zone, I think that we're still a little ways off on that. But, you know, I think some of the other changes we've made are, I don't know, like the defensive positioning. I have two minds about that because I don't like blocking off teams from being strategic and deploying their players how they see fit. But at the same time, I mean, you know, maybe it'll allow the players to show off their athleticism and their explosiveness a little bit more because, you know, a ground ball straight to a guy, you're not necessarily seeing their range. You're not necessarily seeing, you know, their ability. So that's my hopeful spin on it, is that maybe we're going to see someone like Wander Franco show off his athletic gifts a little bit more if they do, you know, ban the shift or at least ban certain positioning in, you know, the next 12 months or what have you.
RJ, will you evaluate the rookie crop this year, plus recent call-ups and players we might see yet this year?
Yeah, so this has been an unusual year because we actually started the season off with a lot of these top prospects in the majors. You know, I mentioned Witt and I mentioned Julio Rodriguez earlier in the segment. You know, I don't know if it's because of a new CBA with what they tweaked about, you know, the service time rules or what have you, but it was welcome. Unfortunately, those guys kind of got off this, you know, poor starts, and I would include Spencer Torkelson in there. He was the number one pick in 2020. He's been with the Tigers all year, and last I checked, he'd actually posted the worst wins above replacement score of anyone in Major League Baseball, so that's not particularly encouraging. But, you know, it's actually a strong rookie class in terms of name value and in terms of pedigree, and, you know, sometimes you just have to give these guys a little time. And the cool thing, too, is, you know, we're still seeing some of these top prospects pop up. For instance, O'Neill Cruz, who is a 6'7" shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates, he just came up. And, you know, it's just fascinating to see someone of that size play the position. It's not at all common occurrence. And then we're going to have someone like Corbin Carroll, who's an outfielder with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's decidedly not 6'7". I believe he's like 5'10", maybe 5'9", somewhere in that range. But he can really hit the ball. And I think that if he were 6'1" or 6'2", he would be probably a top five prospect in most people's minds, because he's done nothing but play well in the minors. And I think he's going to be the one to watch for the rest of the way.
RJ Anderson of CBS Sports talking Major League Baseball with us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Let's get to our favorite division, Mark and I, the American League Central. I'll let Mark talk about his Twins in a moment, but starting with the White Sox, just floundering and floundering under 500. All kinds of calls for Tony La Russa to be let go as the manager. We know his status and his relationship with the front office. I don't see it happening, but if the White Sox keep losing, they got to do something, don't they?
You would think so, but you know, that's kind of the warp and woof of his situation, is that he has one fan in the organization, and that fan just so happens to run the show. So I don't know. You know, I entertained the thought a few weeks ago that if they limped into the All-Star break, maybe he would quote unquote retire and, you know, allow them to make a change at the managerial position. But I have no idea what the odds of that are. And I don't know. If I were a White Sox fan, I'd be pretty annoyed. You know, this is a team that was supposed to be on the rise. I mean, we're supposed to arguably contend for a pennant this year. Instead, it seems like we spend so much time talking about La Russa, and, you know, he's not responsible for all of their shortcomings this season. I don't want to make it sound like he is, but it's just hard to kind of overcome his presence and look at them as a team that's going to, you know, do whatever they can in order to win games when they're still employing someone who has no business being a manager at this point in time.
Well, as far as the Twins, they got to be the most frustrating team in the last 10 days. Frustrating to me. 4-1 run losses, walk-off losses, another walk-off loss today to Cleveland, the chief contender in the Central Division. I guess, looking at it realistic, despite being a fan, this is what we feared all along with the Twins, right?
Yeah, and don't forget, they lost their pitching coach to a college program, which is
right.
A very unusual occurrence for a first-place team in, you know, mid to late June. So, you know, that said, it is a good team. I think they're going to be active ahead of the August 2nd trade deadline, trying to fix that bullpen, or at least trying to get some new arms in there. And, you know, if you're going to have one significant flaw on your roster, it's usually good for it to be the bullpen, because that's often the easiest thing to fix. Now, there are always exceptions to that. You know, we don't have to look any further than Dave Dombrowski his entire career, basically, to see that, yeah, sometimes it's not so easy. But, you know, if you're a Twins fan, that's kind of the hope, that they're going to go out there, identify some interesting arms between now and August 2nd, acquire them, and hopefully, you know, they'll be able to preserve some of these late inning leads heading forward.
National League here, RJ, looking at the Central right now, still neck and neck between the Brewers and the Cardinals. What team do you anticipate maybe making the most moves, or will they both make moves in the NL Central to get folks?
Yeah, I would think they'd both go out there and make moves. For my money, you know, the Cardinals have a better farm system, and I think that's going to allow them more creativity and, you know, more of a wide berth. But at the same time, I think they're probably going to do something like they did last year, where they go out there and acquire, you know, unheralded name. You know, last year they got Lester and Happ, and they were both at the end of their careers, and we didn't expect much, and then they ended up getting more for, you know, their dollar than we expected. And I think that they have a couple of things really working in their favor. You know, they have one of the best infield defenses in all of baseball. I believe they have like the fourth best OPS against on ground balls, and they also have Yadier Molina when he's healthy. And, you know, we all know his reputation as a defender, as a game caller, as an staff handler, whatever else you want to throw out there. So, you know, maybe they go out there and get someone like Paul Blackburn. He's having a really good season for the Oakland Athletics, but he's a little older, and obviously the Athletics are going nowhere fast, and slot him in. And, you know, maybe that helps stabilize the back of that rotation and makes a big difference for him. But yeah, I do expect both of those teams to be active. You know, they both have a number of injuries, and, you know, there's some things on their rosters that they could shore up a little bit heading down the stretch run, but they're both going to make the postseason, I think. And should be fun to see which team comes out on top in the Central.
I have a friend who's who I've become to know at my favorite grocery store. A big Dodger fan. He's scared as hell of San Diego. and San Diego and L.A. hook up this weekend. Should he be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Dodgers are a better team still, but I have been really impressed with the Padres this season just because if you had told me back in January or February that Fernando Tatis Jr. would not have played by now and that they would have gotten underperformance from Cronenworth and Grisham and, you know, you can just tick off all these other items on their list and you would have asked me, where do you think they are in the standings? Do you think they're anywhere close to the Dodgers? I would have said, no, of course not. You know, they're probably in third place, maybe fourth place, who knows? So for them to be where they are, for them to have played the way they've played, I think that's really a testament to Bob Melvin and a testament to some of the ever talented players in that roster. And again, it's going to be a fun series. I think that we can all hope that maybe these games channel the games they played early last year before San Diego, you know, really encountered some bad luck with injuries and with performance in one-run games and kind of fell off the map, because those games were just electric. You know, they felt like playoff contests, even though they took place in April and May. And yeah, so I'm just hoping for a fun, lively weekend series between those two teams. And I'm really hoping that Fernando Tatis Jr. gets back sooner than later, because, you know, he's one of the most exciting players in the game. He's a future face of the league, if he's not already one of the faces of the league as it is. And, you know, I think the game is just better when those kind of megastars are healthy and present in the playoff race.
Yeah, and especially without Bryce Harper in there right now. And speaking of the East, before we let you go here, RJ, here come the Braves again, kind of doing what they did last year, despite all the injuries. And they got it down to three-game deficit to the New York Mets now.
Yeah, and they are taking advantage of the Mets injuries as well, I think. You know, it's hard. It's really hard to maintain pace when you're without Max Scherzer and Jake DeGrom and also Tyler McGill. You know, I know his seasonal numbers don't really reflect the kind of breakout he looked to be en route on earlier this year. So, you know, the Braves, to their credit, they were able to bring up Michael Harris Jr. He's a really fun young player as well. You know, I should have mentioned him when we talked about rookies earlier, because he can go get in center field, and he's also a capable hitter. So he's, if you're looking for like the next, you know, homegrown Braves star, I think it might be him. And, you know, you add him to Acuna, you add him to Matt Olson, who, you know, I know there's been so much discussion around Freddie Freeman and his free agency the last week or so, and I guess really getting back to the winter, but Matt Olson's a really good player as well, and it's unfortunate that he's being overshadowed. I think he just hit, what, two home runs yesterday. So, you know, that's a good team. You know, they won the World Series for a reason. I don't know how exactly that National League is going to shape out, but that should be another fun division race. And, you know, a lot of it just hinges on, can the Mets get some of these starting pitchers healthy and get them back? And, you know, also what they do at the deadline, because I think you're going to see both of those teams also make moves ahead of August 2nd.
Very true. RJ, appreciate it. Read his stuff at CBS Sports and give him a follow on Twitter. And always enjoy talking baseball with you. And we'll talk to you down the line. Take care, all right?
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
You bet. RJ Anderson joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. Come back. And more on USC and UCLA headed to the Big Ten? Question mark. Looks like that is the case when we return.
Menards is your plumbing headquarters with 11% off everything. Get softer skin and cleaner clothes with Water Boss water softeners. A compact 40,000 grain Water Boss water softener uses less water and soft while eliminating hard water, saving you money. Reduce chlorine, bad taste, and odor from your water with Water Boss water softeners, all 11% off now at Menards. Good through July 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
this weekend on ESPN Radio.
To the wall. That's a three-run home run for Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt leads the St. Louis Cardinals into a seven-game NL East road trip that starts in Philadelphia against the Phillies.
Opposite field home run, Kyle Schwarber.
The Cardinals and Phillies. Coverage begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Progressive Insurance.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Welcome back to a jam-packed edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Todd and Alex coming your way next. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Our thanks to RJ Anderson for joining us here today. Mark, we had the first half hour. Cade Proctor with his commitment to the Iowa Hawkeyes in football, the five-star recruit out of Southeast Polk, and talked about that. And of course, spent a lot of time on USC and UCLA, reportedly going to the Big Ten Conference starting in 2024. Down the line right there. And a few more texts to get to. 1900, USC and UCLA should start wrestling programs as soon as possible. Not sure that's going to happen.
No, there are some collegiate wrestling programs out in California, but USC and UCLA, not among them. There's some good wrestling out in California, but I would not anticipate that anytime soon.
Arizona State in the Pac-12 has always had very good wrestling up and down the line, probably the best as far as a team is concerned. Oregon State, of course, has had good teams with Coach Selesky out there. There have been good individuals out there, just haven't seen real good and solid top five teams on a year-in and year-out basis coming out of the West Coast. But we'll see if that changes if the Bruins and the Trojans end up in the Big Ten Conference. I have a feeling more on this is coming out in the next 24 hours as well. And they're talking about, as early as tonight, a news conference to have the official announcement of USC and UCLA leaving the Pac-12 and going to the Big Ten. Remains to be seen. I still believe that the Pac-12 is going to, especially Cal Berkeley, is going to try to do what they can to try to block this from happening, but I don't think it's going to make a bit of difference, Mark. I think it's going to be a situation like Oklahoma and Texas, and we're going to see the Bruins and the Trojans coming to Iowa City. They've both been here, 40 years ago to play football, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I saw Iowa beat UCLA at Kinnick Stadium when UCLA was ranked. I think it was Bob Cummings. I can't be sure about that, but I
believe it was
20-7, something like that. But suffice to say, conference reorganization, realignment is going to be a story that will follow for weeks, if not months.
Not only that, but also what is going to happen as far as leadership is concerned. Will there be that rumored breakaway from the NCAA of the power conferences? Are we going to go to mega conferences? Are we going to see all five of the Power Five stay together? Is this only going to be the first set of dominoes to fall as far as schools leaving a conference? New schools joining a conference. I can see like a Boise State or a San Diego State maybe joining the Pac-12. Who knows how it all plays out. But one thing is for sure, it is going to be interesting and it's going to be talk-worthy coming up over the next handful of weeks.
Became a lot more interesting today, right?
Yeah, it did. More with Todd and Alex coming up. In case you missed any of our talk about it with you, our listeners out there, go back after we close up shop here and revisit the podcast. Also listen to Spencer on Sports and his podcast, both available at kgymradio.com. Mark, we've got a Friday topic coming up tomorrow. I have a feeling we're going to be talking as well about the USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, but we got a fun one tomorrow. It got the Spencer seal of approval, too. I dropped this on him, but we're going to talk about, if you were a baseball player, what would your walk-up music be, Mark?
I like it.
That is what we are doing tomorrow. We are going to talk about that. And like I said, if you had, now let's you know, keep this somewhat PG rated, right? Because we could fly off the handle on some of the musical selections out there, but. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. So get that ready. Think about it overnight. If you were you were in the majors or minors or what have you, what would your walk-up music be? We're going to have that as our discussion on a Friday coming up tomorrow, plus more expansion talk of the Big Ten. Looking forward to that. We'll talk about what's coming up in the weekend. Zach Johnson, what, -3 still, Mark?
-3 playing the 11th hole.
All right, so he did make that par putt on number 9. All right, Mark, we'll talk tomorrow. Have a good night.
Sounds great, Tuckman.
All right, stay tuned. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Thank you, everybody, for the interaction. Do appreciate. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 with another edition of The Gym Class.
Stop buying tickets without rewards and start getting more from the only ticketing company that